The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. The title of the story we're about to tell you is The Unseen and the Seen. We have borrowed the words from a famous American writer, Henry James, novelist and essayist, who wrestled all his long life with the perplexities of man's existence. This is what he wrote in 1888. The power to guess the unseen from the seen may be said to constitute experience.
Who did it?
I certainly didn't.
Could one of the servants have done it?
The only one who sleeps in the house is Selma.
Well?
But I can't believe Selma would do such a thing.
If she didn't, then it must have been one of the children.
Our mystery drama, The Unseen and the Seen, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Elspeth Herrick and stars Paul Hecht and Carol Tytel. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Life was full of hope, we felt it strong until the passing bell. Dreamed by firelight of days to come until the passing bells took you away.
The passing bells, they ring across England as men leave for war. As a titled family's elegant world, upstairs and down, comes slowly apart. And a young woman defies tradition with a love the passing bells can never sweep away.
Once upon a night, I held you close and heard the passing bells. While the world was bright, the stars are red. This love of passing bells won't take from me.
The passing bells. The new Dell paperback bestseller you'll wish would go on forever.
Delta Airlines.
Say, does Delta fly to Atlanta?
Yes, sir. Delta has the most non-stops to Atlanta. 9 every day, plus 8 one-stop through jets.
Well, better give them all to me.
Yes, sir. Here goes. 7:20 a.m., rise and shine. The 8:20 flight is next in line. There's another breakfast flight at 9. Then come flights at 11:05, 11:30, and 12:25. The next flight takes off at 1:10, and close behind, the 2 p.m. There's a 2:40 flight and a 3:30, too. Or maybe the 4 is just right for you. The 4:40 jet is a big tri-star, and the 6:25 is popular. At 6:30, another flight, then the 7:25 comes into sight. A tri-star night coach at 9 p.m., and another at 2:45 a.m., and then we do it all again.
Wow, that was terrific.
You're sure to have a good time on Delta. To Atlanta, Jacksonville, Daytona Beach, all the South.
Hey, I had a good time just calling.
Delta is ready when you are.
Is there anyone who has not wondered what lies beyond the evidence of the senses? Who has not looked deep into the heart of a rose, listened to the sound of a bird's song, heard the laugh of a very young child, felt the stirrings of love, without wanting to know the secrets all of them hold? Is anyone really satisfied with what he sees, hears, smells, tastes, or feels? Or does the great mystery torment us all? Listen now to the drama of one man's experience, a singular drama called The Unseen and the Seen.
Selma, I'm taking Mr. Campion's breakfast into the living room. It'll make everything simpler. Donald?
Yes, Mona?
Are you dressed?
Just about.
Well, you are going to the bank, aren't you?
Don't I always?
I was just asking.
Why all the anxiety?
I'm not anxious. I just... Oh, my goodness. Oh, goodness gracious. Oh, dear. What in the world? How did that happen? Donald, are you coming down?
Right away, Mona. What's the big hurry?
Well, a very peculiar thing. I just discovered it. I want to show you.
Coming. I'm coming right now.
I'm in the living room. dining room. I brought your breakfast in here.
Well, good morning, dear mother-in-law.
Your breakfast is over there on the side table by the window. Selma is polishing the dining room furniture. She wanted to get at it early, so I brought your breakfast in here.
Okay.
Before you sit down, Donald, I want you to look at something.
Oh, what's that?
I haven't touched it. I want you to see it just the way I found it.
Well, what is it?
It's your wedding picture. You and Bernice. The day you were married.
Well, what's it doing on the floor?
That's what I'd like to know.
Oh, must have fallen off the mantelpiece.
Donald, that picture has stood in the same spot on the mantelpiece for 15 years. It's never fallen down before.
Well, this time it did.
Look at it. Face up, lying on the floor. The glass isn't even broken. It's just lying there.
Well, it is possible that it fell off the mantelpiece without breaking the glass.
That old mantelpiece is 5 feet off the floor.
Well, even so, it could happen. Just one of those lucky things. Somebody knocked it down.
If somebody knocked it down, why didn't that same somebody put it back?
Well, forgot, I guess. Do you mind if I eat my breakfast?
You never wanted that picture left on the mantelpiece, did you?
No, actually, I did not. After Bernice died, it was a painful reminder of the past. I wanted to put it away somewhere. But, well, when you moved in and brought Selma with you, I was grateful having somebody to run the house and look after the children. Oh, maybe I have never thanked you properly, but I really was grateful. I am grateful. I don't know how I'd have managed without you. Without Selma.
Oh, somebody had to do it.
Well, it was very kind of you. Especially when one considers that you never much wanted me for a son-in-law.
Donald, that's not true. May have been true at the very beginning when you were fussing around with your painting, but not after.
Not after I stopped painting and went into father-in-law's bank.
And became a very good banker. He always said you were very competent.
Competent. Yes, competent. Oh, don't you want some breakfast?
You might pour me some coffee. I suppose I might as well put the picture back where it belongs.
Might as well. Well, here's your coffee.
No, it bothers me. How it could have got on the floor like that.
Forget it.
Well, somebody must have put it there.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Deliberately.
What does it matter?
It matters to me. I should think it would matter to you.
Well, it doesn't. Not a bit. Now, it fell down, or got knocked down, or got taken down. So what? Now, stop trying to make a big thing out of it.
Well, I was only trying to...
I said forget it. I'm going to the bank. What's your problem?
It's not my problem, Donald. Donald, look there. On the side table.
It's the picture.
Your wedding picture.
Yes. What's it doing there? Eh?
Donald, it happened again.
What? Somebody moved it? Selma?
I asked her. She says she never went near it.
One of the children?
I asked Matthew and I asked Arthur. They didn't even know what I was talking about.
Stephanie?
Donald, Stephanie is 5 years old. She couldn't even reach it.
Well, if she stood on a chair...
Why would she want to move it? A five-year-old child. I'm not sure she even remembers Bernice.
Well, that leaves you. And me.
I was waiting for you to say that.
You think I sneaked down here in the dead of night, took the picture off the mantel and placed it neatly on the side table. Now, why would I do that?
You could have walked in your sleep.
In all my 37 years, no one has ever accused me of walking in my sleep. How about you?
You know what I'm going to do?
No, what are you going to do?
I'm going to get some flour from Selma.
What?
And I am going to spread a coating of flour all over the mantelpiece.
You figure that...
I figure that whoever is doing this weird thing, Selma or Arthur or Matthew or Stephanie even...
Or you,
yes,
even.
Yes, or even you, whoever it is. The flour will be disturbed in some way.
Yes, well, that sounds reasonable.
Maybe even leave some fingerprints.
Oh, that's better, I guess, than sitting up all night and waiting to see who comes into this room.
Is that what you were going to do?
I had thought of it.
So did I.
Why didn't you suggest it?
I was afraid.
To suggest it or to do it?
Both.
Mm. Well, so was I.
Were you afraid to know who it is doing this crazy thing?
Maybe.
I know I was. I mean, I was afraid of confronting him with what he was doing.
Or what she was doing.
You thought it would be me.
Well, didn't you think it might be me?
Well, yes. Or worse.
What could be worse?
A ghost.
Bernice.
Yes.
That's ridiculous.
Yes, I know.
Why don't you go and ask Selma for some flour? Yeah, we'll do what you said. We'll spread it all over the mantelpiece.
All right. Ghosts don't leave any fingerprints, do they? I'm afraid to go in.
Yes, and you want to find out, don't you?
Well, yes, I guess I do.
You were the one who was so neurotic about the whole thing.
Oh, you were too.
Not at first.
Well, you were last night.
Yeah, because you were.
Don't try to blame it all on me.
I wasn't even especially interested till you...
Till I said it might be a ghost. My daughter's ghost. Then you got very upset.
Yes, because it's an absurd idea. Oh, well, come on. Let's go on in.
You go first.
All right.
Is it there? Is it on the mantelpiece?
No. No, it's not.
Oh, Donald.
Come on in and look for yourself.
All right. Oh. It's really not there. Where is it?
Never mind where it is. Look at the mantelpiece where we spread the flour.
Oh, Donald. Donald, it's just the same.
Yes, it hasn't been disturbed a bit.
Does that mean...
I've no idea what it means.
What are you doing?
I'm going to call Professor Dixon.
Who's he?
He's my professor at the Academy. He taught me all I know about painting. We were very close. Still are, as a matter of fact.
Why are you calling him?
Because it's the only thing I can think of to do.
Yes? Hello?
Hello? Henry?
Yes?
This is Donald, Henry.
Donald? How are you, Donald?
Well, at the moment, I'm...
It's good to hear from you. Have you been doing any painting?
No, not lately, Henry.
Oh, too bad.
Yes, well, they keep me pretty busy at the bank.
Yes, I suppose they do. Well, what can I do for you, Donald? Or is this just a friendly social call?
No, it's not, as a matter of fact. It's something else.
Trouble? You in trouble?
Not exactly. Well, I'm really not sure.
Well, what is it, Donald?
Henry, could you come here for dinner tonight?
Oh, well, then this is a social call.
Partly. Not altogether. Well, look, can you make it?
Yes, I can.
Good. Well, that's fine.
Donald, is it my imagination, or do you sound a bit desperate?
No, it's not your imagination.
Well, then, I'll certainly come for dinner. 7 o'clock?
Henry, could you possibly stay overnight?
Oh, I don't know.
Please, Henry.
All right, Donald. I'll arrange to stay overnight.
Thank you, Henry. More than I can say. Thank you.
Oh, it's all right, really. See you at 7.
Thank you.
What was that all about? Why do you want this professor in the house, this Henry person?
I'll tell you why. Because he knows all about ghosts.
Let me read to you from the work of James M. Barrie, born well over a century ago. A house is never still in the darkness to those who listen intently. There is a whispering in distant chambers. An unearthly hand presses the bolt of the window. The latch rises. Ghosts were created when the first man woke in the night. I'll be back shortly to continue with Act Two.
You can call Best Western any day or night.
We'll get you a room that will be just right.
Round the world, lodging for you when you want Best Western. Here's all you do. Call 1-800-528. 1-2-3-4. Best Western. 1-800-528. 1-2-3-4.
Premiering Saturday night on CBS television, Chad Everett stars as Hagen, the best trail guide and tracker in the business. The murder of his best friend thrusts him from the backwoods of Idaho into the hustle of today's San Francisco. Now he's after the most dangerous game of all, man.
I don't think there's an animal born I couldn't follow if wind and weather gave me half a chance.
Chad Everett is Hagen, premiering Saturday night at 10, 9 Central. Hagen, because he knows it's a jungle out there.
Hello.
Hello, Mr. Methuselah.
Oh, it's you, Mr. Primetime.
Yes, I was just calling to tell you about the third issue of Primetime.
What about it? I don't have all day. I gotta go to Kenya.
Oh, there's a feature in it on Kenya.
Ah, what a funny coincidence.
And there's something in the new Primetime on the ailments you run into when you travel, like Montezuma's Revenge.
A son of a gun.
Who?
Monty.
I didn't realize you knew.
Montezuma, I got married in his halls. My 43rd wife.
Your 43rd? There's a piece in it on older women and younger men.
Listen, Sonny, at my age, it's not easy to find an older woman.
True. Anyway, the new Primetime also has an article on a couple who opened a restaurant at an age when most people are closing up shop.
How old?
Well, he was 60.
60, big deal. I opened up a shop at 600. That's an age when most people are closing up restaurants. Well,
plus, there are games, crossword puzzles.
Crossword puzzles?
Well, sure. Give me a four-letter word that means to sleep a little.
Pick up a Primetime while you're young enough to enjoy it with Primetimely articles on everything from second homes to second lives at your newsstand now.
Mr. Methuselah? Sir?
Did I doze off there?
Doze, that's it.
Listen to this, written by the 19th century dramatist Henrik Ibsen. It is not only what we have inherited that exists in us, but all sorts of old dead ideas and old dead beliefs. They are not actually alive in us, but they are dormant, and we can never be rid of them. Whenever I read a newspaper, I fancy I see ghosts creeping between the lines. There must be ghosts all over the world. Those lines are from Ibsen's play written in 1881 and titled Ghosts.
Of course, Professor Dixon, I don't know anything about painting, but I know what I like.
Oh, well, that's something, isn't it, Donald?
Yes, I guess so. Look, have we finished dinner?
Well, there's coffee. I don't know if Selma fixed dessert. Such short notice, Professor, I'm not sure.
Oh, Lord, I've had a sufficiency. I really have.
Good, well then let's go into the living room.
Yes, do that, you two. I'll bring coffee in there.
Come on, Henry.
Selma, we'll have coffee in the living room.
Yes, I'm afraid dinner was a sad affair, Henry.
On the phone you sounded so agitated. You made everything seem so urgent. I wondered why you kept postponing telling me.
Well, I wanted to be alone with you.
Oh.
Seemed to be somewhat at odds with my mother-in-law about, well, what you might call some strange goings-on in this house. We've even got to the point where we suspect each other, or if not each other, a ghost.
Oh. Come now, you're not serious.
Let me tell you what's been happening. Or seems to have been happening. No, no. It has been happening. I've seen the evidence, but I can't explain it. For the life of me, I just can't explain it.
Donald, just tell me.
All right, all right. Now you see that framed picture on the mantelpiece? Huh?
Yes, a photograph of you and Bernice on your wedding day.
Yes, well, it stood there in that exact spot ever since she and I were married. For 16 years. The twins were born a year later, Matthew and Arthur. She and I were still happy together. At least I think we were. I didn't much like working in a bank, but, well, we tried to make a go of it, make it work, as they say. Then Stephanie came 10 years later. I guess we thought another child would really hold us together, save the marriage. never had a chance to find out because, of course, Bernice died.
Yes, I know all that, Donald. Well, what's it got to do with...
I'm coming to that, Henry. Just give me time. Now, after Bernice died, her mother moved into the house to look after the children, and she brought Selma with her to do the housework. Now, this was almost 5 years ago, Henry.
Yes.
Everything went along all right. Until now.
What's wrong now? Everything seems to be running smoothly.
Well, until you hear.
I'm waiting.
Yeah, well, a few days ago, Mona came into this room and the wedding picture was lying on the floor. On the floor.
Fell off the mantelpiece.
Well, that's what I said at first. Then a while later, she found it on the side table there by the window.
Huh. Somebody moved it.
Well, nobody ever moved it before in all of these years. Mona had this outlandish idea of spreading flour around the picture to catch the criminal, as it were.
Huh.
Well, when we came down in the morning, the picture had been moved, all right, clear across the room. But the flour had not been disturbed. Not one bit.
Huh.
Yeah, well, that led to all sorts of arguments and accusations. Mona suspecting me suspecting her. Finally, she said it must be a ghost who was doing this incomprehensible thing.
A ghost? Really?
Well, that's when I called you. You know about such things.
My dear man, what did you think I could do? Exorcise a ghost for you?
No, but, I mean, you're interested in all this stuff. Parapsychology, the occult.
Well, everyone is interested in all that stuff. Whether they admit it or not, they're interested in it. They're fascinated by it.
I never was. Until now.
Well, you're right. I have been and still am. I suppose I've read everything that's been written on the subject. Gone to lectures, attended seances. It's become a sort of second career for me. Since I never became a creative artist, only a teacher... Much to my sorrow.
Yes. Well, Henry, let's get on with it. Well, what's the explanation? And what are we to do about it?
To begin with, there's the explanation of the poltergeist. Sometimes called the noisy ghost.
Yeah, well, there wasn't any noise. Nobody heard a thing.
The theory of the poltergeist belongs in the realm of folklore and spiritism. It's merely a word to explain the inexplicable.
And that's all you're going to give me? A word? What good's a word?
Words have power.
Words no good.
Not so fast. Not so fast, my friend.
I've got to have more than a word.
Well, I'm about to give you more. In the last 50 years or more, a new and different theory has emerged. That we mortals possess a sort of energy that is capable of performing the kind of mischief that you've just described without being on the spot. Without even knowing he was doing it, or even wish to do it.
That's absurd.
Is it? You've heard of people who can bend spoons, haven't you, by the sheer force of their concentration?
Yeah, and I never believed it. And even if it's true, what's the good of bending spoons?
What's the good of moving a picture from one place to another?
Oh, I don't know. All I know is that it moved, or was moved.
Now, let's see... Now, who lives in the house at the present?
Besides myself? Well, there's Mona, Selma, the housekeeper, the twin boys, Matthew and Arthur.
How old are they now?
They're 14. And then there's Stephanie. She's 5.
14? That's a susceptible age.
What do you mean? There's nothing wrong with my sons.
Did I say there was anything wrong?
You said that...
I said susceptible. By that, I mean susceptible to all sorts of influences, from without and most particularly from within.
Yes, but I...
Oh, now, don't look so alarmed, my friend. Boys of 14 are at the height of their powers, physical, mental, and spiritual. And they have not yet learned to control them. Later they will.
Well, now, here's the coffee.
Ah, splendid.
Here, I'll just set it down here. Well, now... Have you two been discussing our little problem
Of cream or sugar, Professor Dixon?
Black, thank you.
Mona...
Yeah, I know you take yours black, Donald.
Mona, there's something I want you to do.
And what's that?
I want you to enroll Matthew and Arthur in that military school.
What did you say?
And take them up there. Get them out of this house. Mona! Mona! Come in here!
What is it, Donald?
Get in here, right away!
Well, where are you?
What do you think? I'm in the living room now. Hurry up!
I'm coming! Donald, you look awful.
Look there, on the windowsill.
Oh, no. The photograph.
Yes, it's happened again. 2 whole weeks of peace and quiet, and now, look, it's happened again. The picture has moved from the mantel clear across the room to the windowsill.
What are we to do?
That vase, that Chinese vase, was it always there by the bookcase? Wasn't it next to the door, to the right of the door?
I don't remember. I don't know.
Why don't you know? You're the one who takes care of things in this house.
Please, try to calm down, please, my dear.
I thought when we sent the boys away to the school...
Do you want me to fetch them back? If you do,
No. Let them stay where they are.
Well, then, what do you want?
What do I want? I want...
I'll do anything. Just tell me.
I'll tell you what I want.
Anything at all.
Yes, I want you to take Stephanie. Take Stephanie and go someplace.
Someplace? Where?
Well, you could go abroad.
With a 5-year-old child.
Take her to Florida. That's it. Take her to Disneyland. She'd like that, wouldn't she? Yes, of course she would. She'd love that. Yes, Florida. Yes, Mona. Take her there. Show her all those marvelous things. She'll be crazy about that. And you'll like it too, won't you? Yes, of course you will. Good. So, all settled, right? Yes. You'll take Stephanie to Florida. Yes. Out of this house. And I can have some peace of mind. Yes. I'll have some peace of mind. At last. Yes, come in.
You wish to see me?
Yes, Selma. Close the door, please.
Yes, sir?
Now, sit down, Selma. Yes, that's it. Selma, I have a favor to ask of you.
Yeah?
I don't quite know how to put this to you. It's very difficult. I don't want to frighten you or anything.
Something I should be frightened about?
No, not really. Anyway, I don't think so. That photograph on the mantelpiece, have you ever moved it?
Only to dust.
You always put it right back?
Oh, yeah.
In the same place?
Oh, yeah.
So, as far as you know, you never put it on the windowsill or the side table or any place but right there.
No, never.
Then why did I find it on the coffee table this morning? Huh? Why was it there when I came down this morning?
On the coffee table? I don't know. I never would have.
All right, Selma. I'm sorry. All right, there's nothing to cry about. Now, look, here. Here's a check.
Oh, my.
It's for $1,000. Now, I want you to take it and go on a vacation. There must be someone you can visit, friends, relatives.
Yeah.
Stay away as long as you like. And if you need more money, you just write me and ask for it. Now,
yeah.
Leave this house. You understand? I like it very much if you could go tonight.
You sit and thank you, sir.
Yes.
Are you all right, sir?
Yes, I'm quite all right. I'm quite all right. All right. Oh, yes. I am fine. I am fabulous. Fantastic. him. Just simply wonderful. Never been better. Absolutely super.
Hello?
Henry. Henry, is that you?
Donald?
Henry, the boys are at military school. Mona's taken Stephanie to Florida. There's been nobody in this house for a whole week, except for Selma and myself. Henry, last night, it happened again. The picture, it moved to the coffee table. I've just given Selma some money and told her to take a vacation. So now, I'm all alone in this big house. I'm frightened, Henry. I'm scared to death.
Ghosts are very powerful, and never more so than when one is alone. It matters very little if one believes in their existence. It doesn't even matter whether or not they exist. To a haunted mind, they are as real as his own face, his own hands, his own voice, and twice as powerful. I'll be back with our concluding act shortly.
If you use a long-lasting nasal spray, you ought to check the package. If it has a big 12 on it, you're getting the longest-lasting relief you can get. You're using Duration Nasal Spray. Duration is different because Duration has the longest-lasting nasal decongestant, so Duration gives you up to 12 hours of relief. That's up to 2 to 4 hours longer relief than most other long-lasting nasal sprays. Look for the nasal spray with the big 12 on it, Duration. The proof is on the package. The package with the big 12 on it. For occasional use only as directed.
Tonight, on the CBS Late Movie, David Janssen stars as Harry O. He's Harry Orwell, private detective, and he's one of a kind. Soft-spoken, easygoing, mild-mannered, until somebody pushes him too far. Then he becomes something else, ruthless, cunning, and dangerous. David Janssen is Harry O, followed by a second great feature on the CBS Late Movie, on CBS Television.
Homeowners, did you know that you can reduce the amount of oil or gas that your furnace burns and still keep your home just as warm? Now, thanks to a remarkable scientific invention, you can stop the heat that escapes up your chimney every time your furnace is in an off cycle. Now there's Fuel Boss, an automatic flue damper that blocks heat from escaping up your chimney when your thermostat turns your furnace off. Heat stays in and you use less oil or gas to heat your home. Fuel Boss is designed certified for gas furnaces by the American Gas Association, is listed for oil furnaces by Underwriters Laboratories Incorporated, and qualifies for a federal tax credit. A descriptive brochure will be sent to you without obligation. Dial toll-free 800-331-1009, 800-331-1009. Learn how Fuel Boss can reduce the amount of oil or gas you use this winter. For your free brochure, call toll-free 800-331-1009. 1009, WBBM Chicago News Radio 78.
Close your eyes, lie back, and think of all the ghosts you know, or have acquaintance with, or knowledge of. Does Shakespeare hover in the shadows? Is that Einstein just outside the window? Or is it your own great-grandfather peering in at you? Oh, don't turn away. Listen to them. They have things to tell you.
If you could stay on here for a while, Henry. Just a little while, till I get my nerves together, you know?
I know.
I'm pretty shaken up by this whole thing.
Yeah, I can see you are.
And I'm so alone here.
I'll stay.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Henry. Take any room you like. There are plenty of them. You know, I'm very grateful to you, Henry.
There's no need to be.
Oh, the house seems so big. So empty.
I can imagine.
Of course, it is empty, isn't it, Henry? Well, it's always been a big house. Too big, really. I've often thought that... I mean, before all this happened,
Oh, this peculiar business has just made things worse. Made the house bigger somehow. Sometimes I wish I hadn't sent them all away. But I had to, didn't I?
Well, if you...
Even Selma. Wasn't quite so bad when Selma was here. Not that Selma and I knew each other well at all. We didn't. Mona knew her. But I didn't. Still, it was somebody in the house. Another person. You know what I mean.
Yes.
But I had to send her away. Because, after all, she could have been the one.
Donald, remember what I told you?
Oh, yes, about poltergeists. Oh, yes, I remember. Noisy ghosts, you called them, eh? Able to move things around.
No, not that.
That's what you said.
Well, that's not all I said.
I remember distinctly...
I said that the power to move inanimate objects could also come from the unconscious mind, from a submerged wish, fiercely aggressive, full of indignation and resentment.
But who could...
What's the matter? What if I said something?
Who would hate me so much?
Hate you?
To punish me this way, Henry? Could it be Bernice, do you think? From beyond the grave?
Why don't you go to bed, Donald? You're worn out.
Yes. Yes, I think I am. Well, let's go upstairs.
All right.
You want to take Mona's room? It's rather...
Oh, in any room at all.
No. I'd better give you the boy's room. Take either bed.
Okay.
Wait a second, Henry. I just want...
What is it, Donald?
I just want to take a peek in the living room. I do it every night. There. Do you see? Do you see it? On the mantelpiece. It is there, isn't it?
You mean the photograph?
Of course I mean the photograph. You do see it, don't you, Henry? Well, do you see it?
Yes, Donald, I see it.
All right, then. Now let's go upstairs.
What is it, Donald? What's the matter?
Get down here, for the love of heaven. Don't leave me here alone.
I'm coming. I'll be right there.
Where is it? Where is the blasted thing? Where is it this time?
What's the matter, Donald?
It's got to be somewhere. Ah, there. There you are. Ha! Stuffed down between the back of the chair and the cushions. And here you are.
It's the photograph, isn't it?
Yes, of course it's the photograph. No matter what I do, it's no use. It's no use.
Donald.
But you saw it, didn't you, last night? It was on the mantelpiece, wasn't it? You saw it there, didn't you? I showed it to you.
Yes.
All right. This morning, it's in the chair, between the cushion and the back. Now, how did it get there, huh? Nobody was in the house but you and me. Did you do it?
What?
Did you move that picture from the mantel to the chair? Was it you, huh? Are you the one who's trying to drive me crazy?
Donald, stop and think. Try to calm down.
Yes, it must have been you. Mona's in Florida. The boys are at school. Stephanie's with Mona. And Selma is off somewhere spending my money. I got rid of all of them. There was just the two of us in this house.
You think that I would come down here in the middle of the night?
You told me it wasn't necessary for anybody to physically move something. You said the force of the unconscious. Something like that. Yes, that's how you did it. You know all about these crazy things. You studied them. You know how they're done.
Please, Donald.
You did it.
You know, Donald.
It had to be you.
No, Donald.
If it wasn't you, then who was it, huh? Who was it?
You, Donald. It was you.
Me? I did it?
Yes. You.
I wouldn't do a thing like that. Why would I?
What reason would I have to do a thing like that? You think I want to drive myself crazy?
Something like that, perhaps.
Henry. Listen, Henry. Will you stay? Will you stay here for a while? A few weeks. Something like that.
If you want me to.
Oh, I do. I do, Henry. It's vital. Somebody has to check on the picture. See if it moves.
But you can do that.
No. No, you see, because I won't be here. You'll be here alone.
Where will you go?
I don't know. Somewhere. You see, I have to get myself out of this house to see if I'm the one.
When will you be back?
Don't know. Sometime, I guess. Thanksgiving, yes. I'll be back for Thanksgiving, for dinner. Then you can tell me, you know, if the picture stayed on the mantelpiece or if it moved.
Donald, are you home? Donald, did Selma show up? She said she would.
Hello. Happy Thanksgiving Day.
Oh, hello, Professor. It's so good to see you. Are you going to be here for dinner?
I'm not sure.
Oh, you must. Unless you have other plans. Did Selma arrive?
She's in the kitchen now.
Well, she wrote me Donald gave her some time off.
Yes, I believe he did.
I left Stephanie at a friend's house. I'll just speak to Selma, and then I'll go get her. Are the boys here?
Yeah, they're in their room.
Could I impose on you, Professor? Ask you to take my bag up to my room. It's right at the top of the stairs.
Oh, yes. I know where it is. I've been using it for a month now.
Oh? You've been keeping Donald company?
That was the idea.
Oh, I'm glad.
In the beginning. But then...
Yes, Donald was in a real state. I was worried about him. How is he?
Well, I'm afraid he's still in a real state.
Is it that photograph? His wedding picture?
I'm afraid it is.
It's moved again.
After you left with Stephanie and Selma had gone, he asked me to come over. I did, of course. We had dinner. He was very lonely, very depressed.
He made us all go away. We didn't want to.
He had his mind set on finding out why and how the picture moved off the mantelpiece. After dinner, he asked me to check the living room with him. We both saw the picture in its usual place, and we both went upstairs. The next morning, I heard a terrible scream. I came running downstairs. The picture had moved in the night. Donald accused me of having moved it by some sort of psychic energy. I had a hard time convincing him. And finally, I told him outright. I told him he was the one. I think he believed me.
But is it true? Are you right? Is Donald the one?
I'm afraid it's been Donald all along.
Sorry to make you help set the table, but Selma's been awfully busy in the kitchen.
Oh, I don't mind at all.
And Donald dismissed all the other servants right after... Oh... Oh, where is he? Where did he go?
I have no idea. But he did say he'd be back for Thanksgiving. Of course, he was in a very agitated state when he left. I'm not sure he even remembers what he said.
The children. What am I supposed to say to the children if he doesn't show up?
I really don't know.
Well, they'll be so upset. Matter of fact, so will I. Even if he's responsible for everything, I'm really very fond of him.
Yes, yes, so am I.
You taught him how to paint, didn't you?
Well, I taught him all I could.
You know, I never liked Donald's paintings. I tried to, but couldn't.
Are we all through setting the table?
Yes, I guess we are. We've set a place for Donald, haven't we? Did you hear that?
Yes. Wasn't it the front door?
Yes, I think it was. Do you suppose it...
I hope it is.
Hello, Mona.
Ah.
Henry.
Hello, Donald.
Well, hello, my dear.
Now, are the children here?
Well, they're upstairs. They're getting ready for dinner.
Selma?
You're basting the turkey.
Good, good.
Donald, where have you been? It's been more than a month.
If you don't feel like telling us...
No, I don't mind telling you. I've been painting.
Painting?
You've been... painting?
Yeah, well, there didn't seem to be anything else to do.
Well, I think it was a very good thing to do.
Oh, I don't know. Hey, you want to see some of my stuff?
I most certainly do.
Well, there's a whole portfolio, if you want to look at it.
Of course I do.
Yeah, here we are. Only sketches. A few watercolors. Nothing very significant. Rough sketches, really. That's all. I thought maybe later on I might develop some of them.
But... Donald, they're good. They're very, very good.
You mean that?
Oh, I most certainly do mean that. They're very good. They're excellent, really.
Well, imagine that. Henry, what I really want to know is... Well, did anything happen once I was out of the house?
You mean, did the picture move?
Yes. That's what I mean.
Yes, it did. It moved the night you left. And then it didn't move anymore.
Do you care to tell me where it moved to?
Well, as a matter of fact, I found it the next morning in the trash can.
Really? I must have hated that picture a lot.
Donald, remember what I told you about a psychic force that can move inanimate objects? Well, when that psychic force turns to other things, constructive things, like painting, like any creative work, then it stops its futile gesturing, moving things about, and expends itself on the work it was meant to do. Understand?
Yeah. Yes, you must be right, Henry. Because the day after I left this house, the very next morning, I went to work. I started painting again. Oh, Mona, why don't you call the children for dinner?
I told you ghosts are powerful, and it's true, they are. But other things are powerful, too. Things such as abandoned hopes, buried ambitions, neglected talents. Once set free, such things can exorcise the most ferocious ghost in the world and send him weeping back into the mists whence he came. I'll be back shortly.
If you've been reading about wise money management in your favorite publications, you've undoubtedly heard about Dreyfus Liquid Assets, one of the world's largest money market funds, and about the big yields you can get on your money right now. Start with as little as $2,500. Make added investments as low as $100. With Dreyfus Liquid Assets, your money is yours whenever you need it. Phone for it, have it sent to your bank, or write a redemption check for cash or to pay your larger bills. You keep right on earning that high yield, compounded daily until your check clears. No penalties on interest, no sales charge, no charge for the checks. It's so simple, sensible, convenient. But find out for yourself. Call toll-free 800-228-5000 for free information and a prospectus, including management fee, charges, and expenses. Read the prospectus carefully before investing or sending money. Discover how Dreyfus Liquid Assets can help you get the lion's share of today's high money market rates. 800-228-5000. Toll-free 800-228-5000.
Here's important news from Amana. Now, when you buy an Amana Touchmatic 2 Radar Range Microwave Oven, model RR10A, you get a $50 rebate. And when you buy a Touchmatic model RR90A, you get a $40 rebate. That's right. You can get up to $50 back from Amana, depending on which radar range oven you buy. And you get something besides money, too. The exclusive RotoWave cooking system. RotoWave works like a rotating shower of power, rotating the microwaves directly down into the food. As a result, all sorts of foods cook faster than ever before. And they cook more evenly than ever before without a lot of turning. Now's the time to see your participating Amana retailer and cook up a good deal. Buy an Amana Touchmatic 2 radar range oven model RR10A and get $50 back. Or buy a Touchmatic RR90A and get $40 back from Amana. Offer good through February 29th, 1980.
Want to paint a picture? Do you feel like composing a song? Have you the urge to write a poem, a story, a novel? Do you long to play the piano or the violin or the guitar?
Then for heaven's sakes, do it. Do it.
For your own sake. And because it keeps the ghosts away. Our cast included Paul Hecht, Carol Tytel, and Court Benson. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Oh, it's you, Mr. Primetime.
Yes, I was just calling to tell you about the third issue of Primetime.
What about it? I don't have all day. I gotta go to Kenya.
Oh, there's a feature in it on Kenya.
Ah, what a funny coincidence.
And there's something in the new Primetime on the ailment you run into when you travel, like Montezuma's revenge.
A son of a gun.
Who?
Monty.
I didn't realize you knew.
Montezuma, I got married in his halls. My 43rd wife.
Your 43rd? There's a piece in it on older women and younger men.
Listen, Sonny, at my age, it's not easy to find an older woman.
True. Anyway, the new Primetime also has an article on a couple who opened a restaurant at an age when most people are closing up shop.
How old?
Well, he was 60.
60, big deal. I opened up a shop at 600. That's an age when most people are closing up restaurants.
Plus, there are games, crossword puzzles.
Crossword puzzles?
Well, sure. Give me a four-letter word that means to sleep a little.
Pick up a Primetime while you're young enough to enjoy it with Primetimely articles on everything from second homes to second lives at your newsstand now.
Mr. Methuselah? Sir?
Did I doze off there?
Doze, that's it.
CBS News, it's primary time in New Hampshire. I'm David Jackson reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Just about 10 seconds ago, the traditional kickoff to the run for the White House began. The first of the first, the voters of Dixville Notch, New Hampshire, cast their ballots in assigned voting booths, one for each of the 22 eligible voters there. That, so all was done simultaneously. It's all more symbolic than prophetic, and the candidates are really interested in the entire state's returns. They won't come in until much later Tuesday. President Carter's favorite over Senator Kennedy, Reagan and Bush are running very close in New Hampshire. And for one Republican, the results will be crucial, as Reed Collins reports from Manchester.
The vote is do or die for Dole. The Federal Election Commission rules require that candidates receive at least 10% of primary votes to remain eligible for federal matching money. Two consecutive primaries below 10% and you're out. Senator Dole fell below 10% in the Puerto Rican primary, got less than 5%, in fact. He had sent a letter to the FEC saying that he was not an active campaigner, but the letter didn't arrive in time. Less than 10% tomorrow in New Hampshire, and Dole is off the dole. He has received $368,000 so far in matching funds. At the end of January, he reported cash on hand of $143,000, but with debts of $192,000. A candidate can reestablish federal eligibility by winning 20% in some subsequent primary, but he has to do it with his own financing. Reed Collins, CBS News, Manchester, New Hampshire.
More news in a minute.
Tonight, on the CBS Late Movie, David Janssen stars as Harry O. He's Harry Orwell, private detective, and he's one of a kind. Soft-spoken, easygoing, mild-mannered, until somebody pushes him too far. Then he becomes something else, ruthless, cunning, and dangerous. David Janssen is Harry O, followed by a second great feature on the CBS Late Movie on CBS Television.
We've had
had debates in Iowa and New Hampshire, caucuses in Iowa and Maine, the Republican primary in Puerto Rico. But now comes the first real test for all the presidential candidates, the New Hampshire primary this Tuesday. CBS News correspondent Reed Collins will anchor up-to-the-minute coverage in New Hampshire, calling in news colleagues for special reports throughout the evening. Listen here for results and analysis of the New Hampshire primary this Tuesday on most of these CBS radio network stations.
Former Congressman Daniel Flood of Pennsylvania, facing 11 felony counts of accepting payoffs, reportedly will plead guilty to a lesser charge Tuesday morning in Washington federal court. UPI quotes sources as saying it's a plea bargain to avoid a bribery retrial. The first ended in a hung jury a year ago. A lone juror held out for acquittal, saying Flood is too old to go to jail. President Carter Monday night spoke to a group of Greek Americans meeting in Washington, and he got cheers when he repeated his call for the Summer Olympic Games to be held permanently in Greece, their original home. Earlier in the day, Mr. Carter hosted a lunch for the Winter Olympians at the White House. After the ceremonies, speed skater Eric Heiden told reporters most of the Winter Olympic team members had signed a petition protesting President Carter's boycott of the Moscow Games.
They had asked me to, you know, give a or say something, and I guess what they finally ended up doing was just having a piece of paper that most of the athletes signed that said, you know, just expressing our opinions.
What was your opinion?
Well, they just, I guess the winter athletes in general just don't feel that a boycott is the right thing.
After that, presidential spokesman Jody Powell said Mr. Carter received mementos from the team, but no petition, no paper of any kind. President Carter says he still hopes that the long ordeal of the American hostages in Iran soon will be over, but he adds there is no certainty of that. Sources close to the UN Commission, now in Tehran, say panel members will bring up the question of visiting the captives to Iranian officials in the next couple of days. Iranian officials have said the commission's work does not involve the Americans. Monday, the commission heard from Iranian jurists, and Ayatollah Khomeini says it must hear, too, from victims of the Shah's old secret police, the Savak. More news after this.
Mom?
Mm-hmm?
Why didn't you show Bob's mother the new ring Daddy gave you?
Because all she'd look at would be the brown spots on the back of my hand and guess my age.
Come on, Mother. If you're that sensitive, get some Porcelana.
Some what?
Porcelana. It's a medicated cream that helps fade age spots.
Really? Porcelana works on age spots, brown spots, and freckled spots. Just rub it in and watch those spots start to fade. Porcelana medicated fade cream actually works to lighten brown patches and spots that come not only with age, but during childbearing years, too. Porcelana is available at cosmetic counters everywhere.
Porcelana. I think I'll try it. Sure. It'll help bring back your natural skin tone in just 6 weeks.
How come you know so much about it?
Bob's mother told me.
Oh. Porcelana. Just rub it in. Watch spots start to fade. Porcelana medicated cream. Use only as directed.
The Dixville Notchers of New Hampshire have cast their ballots, the first of the first primary in the nation. Moments ago, the Democrats in the small town voted 3 for President Carter, 2 for Edward Kennedy, and 1 for California Governor Brown. On the GOP side, Ronald Reagan got 6 votes, George Bush 5, Senator Howard Baker 3. Anderson, Crane, and Conley each got 1. There were no votes for Senator Dole. David Jackson, CBS News.
This is CBS, News Radio 78, WBBM, Chicago.
Del Clark at the anchor desk at WBBM News Radio 78, and these are stories we're watching this hour. The Miami Herald reports 20,000 Cuban refugees may be brought to the U.S. under a State Department proposal. Those involved include former political prisoners and their families with exit visas, but no place to go. President Carter says he'd like to see the Summer Olympics get a permanent home in Greece. He made the preference known today on the eve of the New Hampshire primary. Pentagon officials intend to let 900 nerve gas bombs stored in a Denver arsenal remain there. They had been scheduled for destruction, but Defense Chief Harold Brown decided to keep them around as a deterrent to any Soviet chemical warfare. Travelers from Kabul say the city is now relatively peaceful, but still shut down by a general strike to protest the Soviet invasion. The diplomat who quit his post at Afghanistan's mission to the UN appeared on public television, McNeil Lehrer Report tonight, to say there's virtually no Afghan government, that the Soviets are in full control. Be watching these and other stories this evening here at WBBM News Radio 78. It's 11:32.